Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
At 59, I moved to a new city, got a new car, a new man, a new life, and it is possible. I envisioned the type of man I wanted. I prayed for the type of man I wanted, and I got pretty much that. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But, you know, he has a lot of the qualities. He has a lot of the qualities that that I love, and we're having a really good time, and I'm enjoying life. So there is hope, women. Ladies.
Mm-hmm, maybe. It's the comment that has set the internet on fire. Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mom, talking about husband Richard Lawson on the documentary series Black Love. Her comments about their 3-year-old marriage has been the subject of lots of commentary on social media, and tonight we're talking about it. My guests are Dr. Kia James, licensed clinical professional counselor and co-founder of Relationship Boosters. I think we're going to have to send her down there to see them. Stacey Jordan, co-host of WHUR's The Husbands, and Sherelle Duncan, personal trainer and newlywed. She's still brand spanking new. 2 years?
We just hit 2 years, October 1st.
That's wow. Right. You may be married. You may end up being married longer than Tina and Ricky. The lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay. I think that she threw her husband under the bus. Mm. Way under the bus. Mm. She was, as the phrase goes, she was out of order. She was inappropriate. She was inartful. She shouldn't have done it. She embarrassed her husband on in public, in a high profile public documentary. Tina Knowles was wrong. Mm. That's how I feel about it. Ladies first. Okay, I want the doctor to chime in. How am I doing there, Dr. James?
Well, you know, it's interesting because what she said wasn't necessarily wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because there's no one who is perfect, but how she delivered that message is where the real problem comes in.
Go ahead.
So as far as saying no with the eye rolling and the head movement and all of that, it was, you know, it took it to the extra level. She didn't necessarily tune into what was going on with him. As the camera panned into his face to look at how, like, you know, in thought he was, she didn't even tune into that at all. So, you know, that was a failed communication effort.
Okay.
I feel like she was not wrong for what she said because he's not perfect. Right. But I also feel like she wasn't, like Dr. Kia said, I don't think that she was in tuned with his reaction to what she said. She could have said, you know, no, I'm not perfect either. We're not perfect together. But instead, she just was like, communication is very little of what you say. It's how you say it and how you deliver it. And
yes.
I think that was that was the issue. And it, not what she said, but how she delivered it.
Stacey.
I might have become from a whole different perspective.
Really?
I'm shocked. I'm completely surprised.
At who?
At what she said? No. At how she said it? No. I'm surprised by all the women who stood up and said she was wrong. Because in my experience, like, I'm used to seeing women, black women talk to men like this. Like, this is not an odd experience. And so when I saw it, I guess I'm desensitized. I've seen this before. Now, I'm not talking about you, honey, if you're out there listening, because you show me all the respect in the world. Love you, babe. But for real, this is nothing new. Like, we've seen this before. So I'm not, look, she's not wrong for what she said. Nobody's perfect. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It could be interpreted how she said it, but I've seen this before. This is normal. We see a lot of times. I love y'all. I love y'all in here. I love black women. Y'all the best. But a lot of times black women talk to their men like that. I'm more surprised that everybody's so surprised.
And I think there's been a lot of discussion online this week about whether or not she was on one end emasculating, on the other end she was just being Tina Knowles, the strong, independent, successful woman, and he knew what he was getting into. But I would argue that that notwithstanding that, you know, particularly in a public situation like that, you don't embarrass your spouse.
I think this is rough because coming from a place where I did talk to my past men like that,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. It came from a place of hurt, of pain. And it took the man that I have now to see that I don't have to talk like that.
Yep.
I don't have to say things to him out of hurt and pain.
Yep.
I don't have to do that. So I'm looking at Tina like she just got out of this marriage that it caused her a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they haven't gotten to the place where he feels like he can soften her up yet because he's still probably trying to work things out with that. So she probably talks like that, like you say, all the time. So I don't think that this should just be, you know, she threw him under the bus. I think that we need to look at her, like what she's been through and how they communicate and where they are in the growth level on just self-love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because when I look at it, I look at Tina is strong, yes, but I also see that she has hurt with her. You know what I mean? And a lot of women that do talk to their men like that, it's from the past. They haven't dealt with it. They haven't talked to anybody about it. And they just need somebody that understands, that understands their pain and that will help them and, you know, soften them up.
Well, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Tina Knowles and Richard Lawson, her husband of 3 years, and the comments that she made on OWN's, the Oprah Winfrey Network's documentary, Black Love. A lot of discussion about that. If you have a question or if you have a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Reggie, calling from Richmond, what do you think?
First of all, good evening.
Hey.
They were friends for a long time, and I saw the episode, and I think the young men know what he was getting himself into.
Mm-hmm.
She's an independent black woman. She's been hurt by a former husband. It was well publicized. And I think that he's saying, well, look, she's going to be who she is. So I just got to deal with it.
Okay, Reggie, I got to tell you that Dr. James is giving you the side eye. Go ahead, Dr. James.
I mean, nobody should have to put up with that level of response. So, you know, she might not have known that she responded that way in the moment, and maybe they've recovered that by now. But you know, that shouldn't be the expectation. That's not the expectation in any strong relationship. It just doesn't work like that.
And I don't understand this thing about, well, she's a strong person. Yes, but I would think that, you know, kindness, tenderness, and all of that, and not talking about your husband, but talking to your husband, even in the course of an interview, would be paramount. But it just seemed, especially when she said, you know, I prayed for the, you know, for God to send me a guy, and I got almost, I got
she
almost
did.
Everything. What on earth is that?
But look, I got almost everything too, like, because nobody's perfect. You know?
Exactly.
You know, but, you know, as I was listening to Reggie, though, Reggie said, like, some key words, right? If you put the words independent, black, and
I'm
woman
so
together,
annoyed with I, that because it just displays that you can't be strong, but you're a B if you're strong.
But
I don't agree.
Strong means because of the way that it's been put out there, strong for a black woman means a different thing than if you say strong woman. If you say strong woman, that means something different than you say strong black women. Right or wrong. But he knew what he was saying when he said he knew what he was getting into because she's an independent, strong black woman. He's drawing a picture, which is a picture that a lot of people get in their minds when you put those words together, which is she gonna roll her neck. She gonna roll her
and
eyes.
No one takes the time to get to know these strong, independent women. They just immediately put this tag on them like they bitter and they're mean and they're upset and
it
they
happens.
Respond. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't, but I'm just saying that there's no chance. It's just a stereotypical thing that you put on strong black women, like they don't have any emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel. They don't feel sadness. They don't feel weak. They're not vulnerable at times. They make I'm a strong black woman, and I've done things that I regret. However, I had to learn from those things.
Mm-hmm.
when you look at Tina, she's been in that marriage for so long that the dating.
You mean her first marriage?
Yes, her first marriage.
Yeah, but here's the piece about this, about the whole strong. You can be strong and you can be independent. That's no excuse for being rude.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
And there's many people that are strong and independent and they're not rude. Yes. They're able to maintain mm-hmm. strong, healthy relationships. Their man helps
true
them.
Strength.
So you're right. So I don't necessarily think that describes a strong black woman. It sounds like that describes somebody who's hurt and who's in pain.
Right.
And who also is still dealing with stuff from her previous relationship.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when you don't repair the stuff from your previous relationship, if you haven't figured out like what you did to make things not work, then you're going to carry that into your next relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's what that looks like.
I think people, instead of them like making jokes about it, I think that they should probably like...
Well, okay. Let me go to the phone. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Love, the documentary, and comments that Beyonce's mom, Tina Knowles, made about her husband, Richard Lawson. Let's talk to Angela. Angela, quickly, what's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Hello, panel. Okay,
hello.
I've been watching the Black Love series since the documentary first started. This mm-hmm. is like the third or fourth installment, and I've watched every episode. I think people took away just a little snippet, like we always do with social mm-hmm. media, mm-hmm. and made a meme out of it. They need to look at the real relationship between the two of them. When she said that she's known him since she was before she got married to her first husband, and that he and his sister is her best friend, and that they joked along and played along with each other for many, many years. And even when she got out of her marriage, her and his sister went out, and they were looking for Tina, a new man. And Richie was like, what about me? And they both were like, no, boy, we ain't fooling with you. It's been that kind of relationship with them. And if you look at the second episode after that one, they even went into the fact that she's a stylist, but he doesn't let her style him.
Yeah, well, I mean, and to be quite honest, I probably wouldn't let a whole lot of sisters dress me, but thank you so much for that, Angela. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Grace, calling from Maryland. Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, Grace.
I just wanted to interject that in that conversation, the piece that people jump over is that when she said, well, you know, no one's perfect, he interjected and said, I'm not.
Yep,
so had he not even said that, there would have been no rolling of the eyes.
Mm.
So he set that in motion by asking a question that he knows to be true. He knows that no one's perfect. And so even the fact that he would throw that out like, oh, I'm not, I think that it's very telling that that's the part that we miss, and we jump to her rolling her eyes and saying, no, you're not, recognizing that had he not said that, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Okay, mm-hmm. So talk to me. Thank you so much. Talk to me, Doc, about the body language, because, see, I interpret that differently. I say that when he first said, I'm not, that he was joking. That, you know, he was just kind of playing along. But then it was her response where she said, no, you're not. And she talked, and then she continued to, you know, talk about, as one of the comedians said, you know, it's like she wanted a 10 piece, but got a 7 piece and went on ahead and ate it because she was hungry. And as funny as that may be, I think that's really, really accurate. I mean, she basically said, not only are you not perfect, but you aren't really what I wanted, but I'm just going to settle.
I don't think that's what she said.
No, it didn't seem like she was just she was just settling. She seemed like she was in love with him, and she was describing all the things that were great about him. And then when he said, I'm not, she just responded the way that she does. But she didn't tune into him, and I think that that's the real issue. And
yeah.
he did seem like he was really asking her, like, I'm not, because he was in deep thought. And even when they panned back to them again in the next segment, he was still in deep thought.
I thought he was asking, too.
She hurt his feelings. That's what I say. Well, we're going to talk to Ray calling from Maryland. Maryland. London calling from D.C. Walter calling from Northeast D.C. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We continue this conversation about Tina Knowles and Black Love on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
At 59, I moved to a new city, got a new car, a new man, a new life, and it is possible. I envisioned the type of man I wanted. I prayed for the type of man I wanted, and I got pretty much that. Is he perfect? Not, but, you know, he has a lot of the qualities. He has a lot of the qualities that that I love, and we're having a really good time, and I'm enjoying life. So there is hope, women. Ladies.
Yeah, let us hope so. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about Tina Knowles. That was her and her comment about her husband, Richard Lawson, on the documentary series Black Love. My guests are Dr. Kia James, licensed clinical professional counselor and co-founder of Relationship Boosters, Stacey Jordan, co-host of WHUR's The Husbands, and Sherelle Duncan. She's a personal trainer and a newlywed. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Walter. Walter calling from Northeast. What's on your mind, Walter?
Yes, good evening, everybody. I saw it, and I'm like, well, that's why black women want a man, want a good man, because they are spineless and they're very obedient.
Who's spineless and obedient?
Richard Lawson.
Oh, wow.
I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Women like Tina Knowles is a woman who has been hurt by Matthew Knowles because she was cheated on and she was a nice wife and all that. Well, now I'm going to treat him like I was treated. And if two wrongs don't make a right. But if you got issues in the beginning, you're supposed to just fix yourself before you get married. And if she's going to act that way, then all these so-called strong black women don't need to get married, because if you're going to treat your mate like a pet, you turn on them, they'll turn on you, and it ain't going to be pretty.
Wow. Okay, Walter, thank you so much.
Whoa. This has gone way too far.
You think
like,
so?
Seriously, I think
Walter
that this
talking
is gone,
like Walter White.
They're acting like she was sitting on that couch and she called them all types of dogs and everything. She said something that was not wrong, but her body language just was just nasty. Does that equate to her being a horrible person? Like,
yes.
I don't get it.
I'm kidding.
That's
no,
so wrong.
But I'm serious about this. Dr. James, you know, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Right. 85%
that's
is
right.
Body language.
Yeah.
And as I said in the beginning, I think she was inartful and inappropriate. This is that Monday morning quarterbacking, but looking at it analytically, she could have said, I'm not perfect. He's not perfect. Mm-hmm. We are a work in progress, but he is so good to me. I love him dearly, and we are, you know, supporting each other. It would have been a benign kind of, and we would have went right. But she, I'm telling you,
but what if she's not that articulate?
I don't think
that
she's been groomed to do interviews.
Another thing is though,
her body language.
Another way to look at this though, like you, if you take. Because, again, when I saw it, I wasn't as shocked. I was shocked at how shocked everybody was. You take this how long was that? A 10-second clip?
Yeah.
And you paint a picture of their entire relationship based on that one clip? I think you're going a little bit far.
And all women, and all women, and all women. She basically, they're saying that she spoke for all strong, independent women, and that is untrue. No, that's that whole thing. I don't get that. I don't get it.
It's the wording. Listen, if you say independent, strong black woman, you are not talking about, you're not meaning what independence and what strength really mean. You're talking about this cold, hard, I get what I want, and you're going to bow down to what I want. Whenever you, when you put those words together in that order, independent, strong, black woman. If you take black out, independent, strong woman, it means a totally different thing, because there's this picture of you being that way. And I don't think that that's true. Like, I believe you to be an independent, strong black woman, but, and I don't see you as being like the B word or something, you know.
I mean, but I have been. But does that make me a bad person? That means that I have to grow. Right?
Yeah, you got to grow. And you, no yeah, well, you a bad person until you grow.
Yeah, no one gives you room to grow.
Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. London, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the fact that she's first of all, I'm a newlywed.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
Thank you. I'm going into my second year, and our anniversary is Sunday. In seeing that, it's kind of disappointing, because I'm one of those strong, used to be somewhat independent, still somewhat independent woman, and it's like, geez, it's kind of not very optimistic for people who are starting over again and who want to kind of have a new, fresh outtake on love. You know, to have her make comments like that on her second chance is just, it was kind of disappointing.
But, and you know what? I agree with London, because, and this is another question for Dr. James, what if the shoe, or the situation was reversed, and it was Richard Lawson saying about his wife, I got almost everything that I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Never go. He ain't that dumb.
We
never
know that,
that
the woman would have pounced on him.
I mean, he ain't stupid. Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Well, but
so who's perfect then?
But, exactly. Right, exactly what's happening.
But you see. And even with all the criticism, and thank you so much, London, for your phone call. Even with all the criticism of her, had he said to her, I prayed for, you know, a wife, and I got almost everything. If you think the neck whip in this instance was bad.
Very true.
Oh, he would have been on the sofa for the duration of the month until she filed for divorce.
I mean, the situation wasn't that bad. And I think the previous caller said something about him being spineless and all of this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't necessarily agree with that either. He probably knew in that moment that it wasn't the best time to respond. I'm sure that they have had a conversation since then. Mm-hmm. But in real life, people say things that are inappropriate. It's really about being able to recover it. And then she just was not successful in being able to do that in the moment.
So how does she fix that?
She needs to have a conversation with him later and tell him that, you know, break it down. Like, I know that you are not perfect, but it's not about, like, you're perfect for me. And I think that that's the part that was missing. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't like she was saying that he wasn't perfect. I think a lot of men heard that, oh, you're not, you know, you're a seven-piece instead of everything I ordered.
Right, like, exactly.
But I don't think that the women heard that the same way. I really do think that there's a communication gap in the way that men and women communicate, and that wasn't accounted for in this situation.
Which brings me to this next soundbite. Because, no, I think that this is, you know, this is one of those, you know, those really critical things. This is DeVale and Kadeen. Mm. This is the younger couple. And you talk about body language, and I want folks to also kind of talk about this, because even though Tina and Richard were sitting close together, DeVale and Kadeen, they were up under each other. And this is what they were talking about when they started talking about communication.
My whole thing with her, and we always debate this, is that I don't need you to agree. Just understand where I'm coming from. If you can understand where I'm coming from, You don't have to agree with it, but at least see why I believe that way. Then we cool.
And I feel the same way too with him. Sometimes he's just like, well, just listen to me and understand. And I'm like, no, I need you to understand why I did what I did, or why I made the decision that I made, or why, you know, I'm not making this decision to do it. And I think that saves us a lot of the times.
Yeah. And they are considerably younger.
Yes, they are.
But that there's a different dynamic there.
You know, I read something that they're saying that the millennials are staying married longer than people before the millennials because of how we've been introduced to effectively communicating and also being extremely honest. So I don't know if that plays a part, but I just don't, I don't agree with it being as bad. Like Dr. Kidd said, I don't think that it was as bad as people are making. And they, and this is the thing they're saying, and the comments that she made, there was only one comment that
yep,
she made.
There was this one.
No one else said anything else about the entire interview, just that one comment, but it's turned into a whole segment of comments that mm-hmm. she made that, and now, Richard Lawson is a spineless.
How long was that couple married? I don't remember the younger couple. How long were they married?
And that's a good question.
Yeah, because I think we need to get a millennial's time. Mm-hmm. You know, the older generation, we've had a chance to really get to know each other. And now, I'll say this. When you're early on in your marriage, you're a lot more flexible in how you want to communicate because you're still in the giddy, lovey phase. 10, 12, 15 years in, you start to get used to each other and the dynamic may change a little bit. My wife is we're working on this. Let me say, because she's listening. Let me get this right. Because we're a lot better.
Yeah, don't but call me talking
there was
about
a time.
You need a place to stay.
right. But there was a time. My wife didn't seem interested in what I was saying. She only wanted me to hear what she had to say. And I see that a lot as well. It doesn't seem like women are truly interested. I hear her saying, you know, he's saying that I want to be heard and I like it when she hears me. Well, yeah, a lot of times men like to be heard, but a lot of times you find that women say men don't talk. Well, men do talk. We just don't talk to you because you don't really care about what I have to say. You want to hear me say what you want me to say, not what I really feel. And over time, that starts to happen. Early on in the marriage, 1, 2, 3 years. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Oh, I love you so much. This is so awesome. We're having sex again tonight. Woo. 10, 12 years later, you lucky if you get it again this week, and I don't want to hear nothing you got
to
say.
I couldn't imagine my life like that, and I've only been married to my husband for 2 years. I cannot imagine a place where we cannot communicate with one another,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we do. My husband is very cool. He's very, you know, he's not like, I'm very outgoing and bubbly and out talking. I'm very emotional. He's not like that, but I've learned to understand how to communicate with him. I think that what it is women and men aren't taking the time to fully understand and learn and mm-hmm. study their spouse. They're just jumping into a marriage mm-hmm. to say, oh, this is cool. And then they have interviews like Tina and Richard because they ain't talking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree.
Let me go to Tina. Tina calling from Alexandria. Go right ahead, Tina. Oh, Tiffany, I'm sorry.
Tiffany,
forgive me.
She's like, get it right.
No problem. I think it's being blown totally out of proportion, what she said, and it's being overanalyzed, and people are totally missing the point in her statement. What she was trying to do was give other women encouragement. It wasn't to down him. It was to uplift other women and to encourage them to keep moving and not be discouraged and give them hope that there is somebody else out there and it's possible to be happy again. I'm sure that man knows he's not perfect. Nobody is. She's saying she prayed for something good, and that's exactly what she got. You know he's not perfect, but she loves what she got.
That's what she said. If you listen to more of it, that's what she said.
And I do get that, and I think that to a certain degree, I do agree with Tiffany that there are bigger issues there and I agree, yes, that you can probably find love at 49, 59, in his case 70, but I think the lesson is that when it comes to your spouse, your mate, that you do have to be careful and to put a fine point on it, because in one of the Facebook arguments that I got into
Surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly. You know, a friend of mine said, she said that she had gone to the White House and for an event under when Barack Obama was in office, and she met him and she was in awe and she just thought he was so great. And then Michelle Obama, first lady, came up and she said, oh, he ain't all that. And she said, that's the same thing. My argument was it is not the same thing. And this is why. Because it is well known that the president, President Obama and Michelle Obama, have that kind of relationship where they joke like that.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Lawson's face did not say that. And that's the point. Tiffany, thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Anthony calling from D.C. Lines are still open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're going to talk a little bit more about conflict and black love or black no love. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about black love on the Oprah Winfrey Network, the documentary that has really kind of set the internet world on fire, particularly as it relates to Tina Knowles and her comments about her husband, Richard Lawson, short though they may have been. Let's go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Anthony calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I think the biggest issue is what she said and how she said it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the panel. She really did not pay any attention to the look that was on her husband's face. I know I've been married for 30 years, and if I even think about saying the wrong thing when I'm speaking in public or at church and I look at my wife, I make sure that she has a smile on her face. Because I'm not sleeping on the couch for anybody. but at the age, and I understand it was a great point that the doctor made and about the millennials, but as with the age that Ms. Knowles is, just in the comments that she made, we understand that there's a lot of hurt. Now, I've been pastoring for 30 years, and she's still hurt. Once she made the comment of saying that I prayed for this man and God gave me this man, well, then when you're in the public view, again, my wife can tell me all the time, baby, I didn't like the way you preached. That didn't work. You kind of forgot to tell them about this and that. Do that while we're at home when it's just us. And I understand that you're doing it in love. But when you do it in a public setting or in the multimedia setting with the way the media is today, you're looking to bruise somebody's ego, whether you believe it or not.
There you
go. I'm praying that they were able to talk offset and for him to be a man and say, listen, I didn't appreciate you saying that, even though it kind of caught me off guard. I made a statement maybe I shouldn't have made, because in our society, when we're hurt, we do a lot of tit for tat.
Yeah, well, it looks like Anthony, no couch sleeping for Anthony this weekend. and I hope your wife is listening, because, you know, hashtag black love and Anthony. Anthony, thank you so much for your comment. So let's talk about how do you, and Anthony just made such, you know, such a great point, especially when he says if he's, you know, if he's been preaching or he's doing a presentation and his wife is sitting there, she is his barometer for anything that he is saying. And already, to me, whether they've been married for 30 years or 2 years or what have you, they already communicate, even the nonverbal communication. So, you know, Doc, how do you communicate like that to prevent those kinds of situations like Tina Knowles and Richard just had.
Well, you know what? You have to have the strong connection. That's what's really going to help you to communicate better. Like, for you guys to have those experiences where you're able to vibe with one another, you feel like you're on the same page, you feel like the other person actually cares how you feel about your well-being, like, all of those things buffer anything that you would say. I would also say that, you know, you're not going to make those kind of negative statements or those kind of statements in the media and not recover it. Whereas if they were at their house, you know, people would know who they were and they probably will respond differently because they know them. But not knowing them, like, you know, it looks kind of off.
Yeah, to say the least. How do you recover in private? I mean, you know, short of her, you know, making his, you know, his favorite meal and giving her, you know, bringing his pipe and slippers as a quote apology, if she felt that such a thing was necessary. But long term, how do you fix that? What does that conversation look like?
I mean, it really looks like you sharing, like, where that came from, why you said it, how you were feeling, how you really care about your significant other. You know, all of those things would have to be extremely genuine. I mean, not with negativity, but, like, you know, those deep conversations where you're eye to eye and you're feeling like you're connected. Like, it really has to go to that level.
Mm-hmm. Because, Cheryl, I can...
Sherelle,
forgive me.
I've been on the show too many times.
You know, look, I called Tiffany Tina.
Oh, so, man. Harold, you know, you are not perfect.
I am not.
Right. Not perfect.
I'm not.
No, you're not.
So, Sherelle, you're going to go home and you're going to talk to your husband tonight and you're going to say, honey, you're not perfect. And he's going to, but I met your husband. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
His feelings aren't going to be hurt. He's going to look at you and he's going to say...
You aren't either.
No. Her husband is going to say to her, how can I improve?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Really?
Yeah, he will.
But, you know, all jokes aside, what for you and your new marriage, is that the kind of conversation you would have? And how would you tell him how he needs to... You know, improve with, you know, where does he put the salt first instead of the pepper first? And, you know, does he give you more room in the bed? Does he let you go to the bathroom when you're headed to work first? Do you have those kinds of meeting of the mind conversations?
So we've had both my husband and I, we've been in relationships and we came into our relationship with a lot of hurt, mm-hmm. and we were broken. And so we decided that we wanted to do this one differently. So when we first started dating, we did not have sex. We didn't have sex for 4 months. So within that 4 months, we got to know one another. We was on the phone for hours. We would talk, we would communicate. We would say the things that hurt us. And of course we weren't married. So before we got married, we did go to premarital counseling. We practiced celibacy for a year before we got married. And then when we got married, we made sure, like, if something is wrong with him he's mad because of something I did. I have learned to not be like, oh, well, you're going to sit in that because you should have never did this to me. It's not a tit for tat situation because we've been tit for tat in our whole lives, mm-hmm. in our previous relationships. So we wanted to do this one differently. So when my husband, he speaks a lot. He's an artist. He performs a lot. So when he messes up and he performs at church, well, he ministers at church. And so when he messes up, I'm like, baby, I'll look at him from the pulpit. He in the pulpit. I'm like, look. Get it together. You are not together. But I wanted to say this. When my husband and our video first went viral, we did a lot of interviews, live interviews. And one of the interviews, I got a lot of scrutiny because the women were saying that I was not allowing him to speak. So every time he would talk, I would be like, hold on, wait. And I would come ghetto, right? Like you say ghetto. And so we got so much scrutiny and he was like, do you this make you feel some type of way? I was like, it does. And when he was like, well, let's watch it. And so when we watched it, I was so embarrassed because I was cutting him off left and right.
Mm.
not because I didn't respect him, mm-hmm. not because I'm a strong, independent black woman. Mm-hmm.
You just like to talk.
Just because, yes.
You just like to talk.
But I wasn't respectful of his time. Mm-hmm. So I have learned to respect my husband's time. I've learned to respect his heart, his emotions, his mind. I have learned to just respect him as a person. So, because I want him to respect me. Mm-hmm. I show him how I want to be treated. And I think that's where a lot of people miss it at. And we're very honest and we can communicate. We have issues because when we first got married, we had our first fight ever. We didn't have fights, like not physical fights. We had mm-hmm. our first elevated debate, and it was crucial. And I was like, is this what marriage is going to be? Is this how we're going to be? So our first year, it was kind of rough because we were still trying to understand how do we compromise certain things in this marriage? How do we do this? And so we just had extensive conversations.
So Stacey, how do you, from your perspective as the, you know, the resident sage of marriage here, how do you recover from some kind of public embarrassment in your marriage, you know, when you say the wrong thing publicly to your wife, or she says the wrong thing to you, when you get home? How do you fix that?
First of all, if my wife says something that embarrasses me in public, I'm not going to just go on what she said at that moment, right? We got relationship and we got time in, right? So I'm not just judging her based on the last thing that she said, although it may have bothered me, right? Yeah, we absolutely got to talk about it. For me, I feel like I have to go the extra mile in showing her that I care, but that's just me. That's how I feel, because I say at the end of the day, I'm the husband, I'm the man. It's my responsibility to serve everybody in this house. And when it comes to my wife, even if she doesn't understand me at the moment, I got to let her understand where I am. Because I believe that my mind frame when it comes to our relationship, and this is in our house,
yeah.
My mind frame when it comes to our relationship sets the tone. Okay, so that's how it has to be for me. And I'm listening to you and the way you're talking about how you saw what you were doing with your husband. You saw that you weren't letting him talk, and you corrected your course.
Yeah.
And that's not always the case, right? Yeah. And I think a lot of men experience that, because you say, oh, you're just going to sit in that. Well, a lot of times that is the case.
Yeah.
You're mature enough, and you know what? You're emotionally trained enough to say that's not how you handle it. But by and large, and this is not just in my married relationship, I'm just in dealing with women a lot. That's the attitude that you get. And so when you hear Walter White come on and say, he's a spineless, but see, that's been his experience. He says, you know what? Nobody's going to do that to me. And if you let somebody do that to you, you're spineless. You understand? But you got to be strong enough as a person. What's the man's name?
Richard Lawson.
Richard Lawson.
Yeah.
We don't know what his response is.
Yeah.
He could be at home like, babe, I ain't sweating none of that.
Exactly.
I know you.
Yeah.
Let him say what they want. Because, you know, he ain't come out and said anything.
Yeah.
But we don't know how he's feeling. Mm-hmm. He may be strong enough, and that's what it is. If your spouse or anybody offends you, but in particular your spouse, if they offend you, you got to be a strong enough person to say, you know what? I ain't judging you based on that. I know myself, and I know my worth. And even if you don't see me as perfect, I understand I'm not, but I know what I am. Because she certainly said, I'm a bad sister. He got to be able to say the same thing about himself.
And I think, to Richard Lawson's credit, you know, and if I were him after this happened, I probably would have gone out, gotten her a 10-piece, and put a card on his head. I love you, baby. There it is. And then we laugh about it. You know, just save a drum.
There you go. Share the chicken. Share the love, baby.
Dr. Kia James, Stacey Jordan, and Sherelle Duncan. Thanks for joining us. Bring your husband in here next time.
I will.
That's a great guy. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 12th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bermonte Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.